Before I begin the sermon, I want you to have permission, feel enabled to write a little note to me. Carla and I and a number of our folks are going to the Holy Land starting on Tuesday. And I have high hopes that there'll be a time when I'm standing next to the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall. And if you have a prayer request that you'd like for me to leave in the wall, I'd be glad to do that for you. I will take that prayer list that we have in our bulletin and we'll put that in there. But if there's something you would like for me to put in there, it can be written in code. God knows. I don't need to know. But I just want you to have that permission. It is a fabulous thing to go and be able to do that. I mean, I typed up, when I was at Land O'Lakes, I typed up every prayer concern anybody had told me for a month or two on a really small print so I could fold up the piece of paper and stick it in the crack. That's the tradition. I'm willing to go for it. But I just wanted to give you that sense. You've heard this psalm before, some of you? Just a reminder that sometimes we let routine get the best of us and we don't wander through the whole scripture at a depth that we could. From the Anchor Bible, it goes like this. A psalm of David, Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. In green meadows, he will make me lie down. When we go to the Holy Land, I want you to notice the places that have green meadows and the places that have brown rocks. In green meadows, he will make me lie down. Near tranquil waters, he will guide me to refresh my being. He will lead me into luxuriant pastures, as befits his name. Even though I should walk in the midst of total darkness, I shall fear no danger, since you are with me, your rod and your staff, behold, they will lead me. You prepare my table before me, in front of my adversaries. You generously anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and kindness will attend me, it says. Attend me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of Yahweh for days without end. My favorite version of scripture for the Old Testament is the Hebrew Bible, especially for the poetry, because whoever put it together, the team that did the translation, understands the Hebrew well and lends itself to poetry in English. And so the poetry is different, and it speaks those words with a little more insight. From the Jerusalem Bible, Yahweh is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The meadows of green grass, in meadows of green grass, he lets me lie. To the water of repose he leads me. There he revives my soul. He guides me by paths of virtue for the sake of his name. Though I pass through a gloomy valley, I fear no harm. Beside me your rod and your staff are there to hearten me. You prepare a table before me in the eyes of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup brims over. Ah, how goodness and kindness pursue me. How goodness and kindness pursue me every day of my life. My home, the house of Yahweh, as long as I live. I've never been a shepherd. Anybody had sheep? I have one. Sheep person. Did you get to play shepherd? No. Did they smell bad? They do. Just wanted to make it official. We think that the nativity scene is lovely, and then you think about the fact that there's cow, maybe, donkeys, sheep, dogs, sheep, wet sheep, stinky sheep. Sure, go hang out in the barn. That's where you can have a baby. I am positive that there are nuances to the vocation of sheep herding that I won't ever get. But David, as a teenager, as a preteen, was a shepherd. And so for him, it's like second nature. He knows the good and the bad of that. So when he starts equating God to shepherd, it's coming from a very deep personal place for David. We can do the same thing if we lean into the nuances of the parts of the world that we know well. The Lord is my boss. The Lord is my bishop. You guys probably can't relate to that. The Lord is my principal. The Lord is my coach. The Lord is my mentor. The Lord is my fishing guide. If you've ever been a pilot, the Lord is my pilot, because you know what the good parts of that and the bad parts of that. The Lord is my driver. The Lord is my father. The Lord is my mother. The Lord is my grandmother, nurse, aunt, uncle, cousin. Wherever there's that kind of protective, safe relationship, the Lord is my grandmother. She kept every secret, and I always felt safe with her. She called and called when I was stressed or in trouble, making me feel like there was no distance between us. And she would never let me go. When I look back, even when I was childish, she treated me with love and respect and allowed me room to make mistakes, but not so much room that I was in great danger. It should not be tough in your life to re-say this psalm in a way that is ultra personal. The Lord is my... Granted, some jobs don't fit in this very well. Some roles in life don't fit. You know, the Lord was my accountant. Sorry, I was just being funny. The Lord was my lawyer. I want you to feel some freedom to think about this passage of Scripture in two ways. Maybe for you, you should hear the themes that are part of Psalm 23 and then consider where you in your life have seen them lived out. Where have you felt safe and protected and provided for? Where have you found rest? Even when the world is crazy, where is it that you can let your soul be refreshed? Or maybe you should start with your vocation, something you've done in the past, and you know what it takes for that to be restful, protective. Not all shepherds were good shepherds. But David knew that one intimately in a way that allowed him to say these words now. That David didn't say, the Lord is my king. He'd done that role. David didn't say, the Lord is my warrior. He knew that role. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he pulls out these themes that just let our souls sing. I think of Psalm 23 like spiritual comfort food. No matter what life is going on, if I lean into Psalm 23, it's kind of macaroni and cheese and mashed potatoes, and I'm good to go. It's mother's meatloaf. I don't know. What's comfort food for you? What? Pound cake. I need to change the subject, or I'm going to be hungry by 11 o'clock. This, I believe, can be part of our spiritual life, part of our faith relationship, our walk with God. But the key to this passage is realizing we have to practice it before we need it. You don't walk up to somebody who's in the midst of crisis and say, the Lord is your shepherd. They need to have actually participated in God being their shepherd so that they circle back in the midst of that and go, oh, okay, I can rest here. God has me. In this particular passage, David, who was in charge almost all of his days, was the boss. David looks at himself as sheep. Today, we get to look at ourselves in this passage as sheep. It's clear that the Word of God soars in the words and the letters of this well-loved psalm. I want you to listen for God's voice speaking to you today in these words. God speaks to us individually, strengthens our faith so that we might walk through times when the shadows seem long, when the darkness comes, with a different kind of confidence. Those of you who are going to the Holy Land with me on Tuesday, I want you to recognize that we live in a flat Florida. And there will come a time in the afternoon when the valleys in Israel will be dark and the hilltops will still be light. There is that sense of the valley gets the lack of safety first. Some of you have grown up in places where that's the case. I grew up most of my days in Florida. So the seeing true valleys and the sun's effect is different to me when I get to go to the Holy Land. I don't want you to just say, I know these words by heart, and so I don't have to worry about them anymore. I want you to hear them afresh. These words offer refreshment. It's a very interesting dynamic because for me, most of my ministry, the Psalm 23, 23rd Psalm, almost always appears at funerals. How many of you have been to a funeral where they did Psalm 23? Some of you aren't participating fully in this worship service by not lifting your hand. Because I know that 40% is the wrong number. So if we're not careful, we attach real somber thoughts and meditations to this psalm, thinking that really, oh, the whole main thing about it is the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. Oh! And it's not. It's not. They're not words of death. They're words of comfort. They're words of hope. In our world today, with talk of nuclear war and shootings and hurricanes and fires and floods, these words offer hope. They offer light to us when we're struggling in the darkness. One of the themes that's part of the 23rd Psalm that I want to make sure that I share with you, and it really touches me, is a confidence that's so clear, this confidence with intimacy and warmth. There's the Lord is my shepherd, and he does not let me go. It's like, the Lord is my grandmother. She will take care. There will be no distance. Nowhere else in the Bible is the Lord understood to be a shepherd on such a personal basis. How reassuring was it for me in days of trouble to think that when I feel helpless like a sheep, I can feel secure because the Lord is my shepherd. Any intimacy is heightened when, as things get more dangerous, God feels closer. Because as things get more treacherous, the shepherd gets closer and brings the flock in. God steps in closer and closer. It says, even though I walk through the valley of deep darkness, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Not he is with me, but the Lord is with me. We're not talking about God, but rather with God. It's not this distant philosophical abstract idea is nearby. It's my walking partner. I think the whole notion of God acting as a shepherd adds to the warmth. Shepherds guide, they protect, they provide for their sheep. The rod is the rod which fights off predators, and the staff with the crook in it is used for guidance and for pulling sheep out from between rocks or out of holes they might have gotten themselves into. Sheep are not all that bright. They get stuck all the time. You and I are sheep. We're sometimes not all that bright. We get stuck all the time, and sometimes that crook is used to pull us out of our deep holes. I want those of you who are going to the Holy Land, I want you to notice when we go to Qumran and we're going to see the place where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, the hole that the sheep went into that the shepherd goes to try is like on the side of a cliff up about 30 feet. And the guy throws a rock, the shepherd threw a rock in there to try to scare the sheep back out. I mean, how the sheep got in there, I think, is the question. And he hits this jar, clay jar, and that's why we find the Dead Sea Scrolls, is because sheep get lost. The Lord is my very own shepherd. I love the fact that it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, pursue me, chase after me, hunt me down. Surely goodness and mercy shall chase after me. Think of it. God is one who exemplifies love pursuing you. What great confidence in God's love and God's continual presence. Confidence and intimacy. The Lord is my shepherd. I love the fact that there's this sense of rest in the midst of crazy. We're going to find that pool in the stream that isn't traumatic. It doesn't. The sheep get spooked if things rattle around in the water a little bit at all and the water is troubled. They take off. It's finding those pools where everything is still and calm. Doesn't that sound lovely? Calm? Restful? Where do you go for rest and calmness? Let God take you there. When you're in Israel, it looks more like desert than it does like paradise. It's hot and arid and hot and dry and hot. I took for granted when I first read this as a teen that we were speaking about Florida with well-cared-for lawns and large green pastures with animals. You know, you drive down the highway and there's just a whole bunch of them standing around happy and happy. But that's not what we're talking about in this passage. When you get to see that so much of the place is without any kind of plant life. Finding a green pasture and still waters is beautiful. Green pastures and still waters are like the gift of a vacation from the shepherd. We all have our still waters. We find green pastures in different ways. Some, I think, find it by working on their lawns. Do you find green pastures by working on your lawn? Tell me that you get some kind of great value out of that. Because, Lord have mercy, you have the nicest lawn. Is it restful for you? Somewhat? You're not doing that for the neighbors, right? Not lately. Fair enough. How many of you sew, crochet, cook? Is it joy-filled for you, or is it, oh my gosh, a chore, I got to do that again? It doesn't say the Lord cleans bathrooms. The Lord does windows. Where do you find rest? How about working on cars? Fishing? Hunting? Lord have mercy, I'm never going to find your still waters. I'm going to keep guessing. Stained glass? Cleaning restrooms, playing tennis, singing, playing instrument, listening to music, jogging. Does anybody find vacation reset when they jog? One. Where is it that you will find green pastures and still waters? There's some part of your life And God is the one who calls you back to restore yourself when you go back to those places. I love the fact that God leaves in realistic life experience in the Psalms and in Scripture. the valley of deep darkness, the tough days, the in front of my enemies, all of those kind of things let you realize that life just doesn't, you don't turn a switch when you follow Christ, that all of a sudden everything always goes perfect for you. You've noticed that, right? It's not a matter of if it happens, it's a matter of, it says in here, when it happens, when I'm in the valley of deep darkness. For sheep, the valley was the place of most vulnerability, where wild beasts and robbers and evil spirits were working. Lions and tigers and bears. Thank you very much. And the shepherds had to use these valleys to get from one pasture to another pasture. It wasn't a matter of if we were going into the dark valley. It was a matter of when we go into the dark valley. But mostly that phrase is not about the where and the when, but about the with whom. Every time the sheep go through the valley, they don't go alone. The shepherd is always there. The Lord is my shepherd, and I am not alone, even when I am at my most vulnerable. These are beautiful themes that you don't want to just miss, because I know that psalm by heart. Do you share this psalmist? Do you share David's intimate confidence? Are you aware of the gift of rest that God puts in front of you? Are you tuned into God even during the tough times? Can you hear the words of Easter in this psalm? Do you hear death and resurrection, hope in the midst of despair? I believe God's voice speaks to us consistently and constantly. We have someone tending to us, caring for us now and forever. Not a shepherd, but the shepherd, the Lord. I want to throw in a few things at the end here, to just in case you miss these as you are watching the news this week. Did you happen to hear about the nurse in California who worked to evacuate patients at the hospital while her own house burned down? Or about the coach who lost in a great upset, went to the opponent's locker room to commend a player who was amazing in the game? Did you hear about that? Did you hear about the high school football team and the coach that, when an opposing player went down and did not move on the field for more than 10 minutes, the coach sent his team out to kneel with the other team? And there they prayed and waited together until that person was carted off the field and showed motion. God does not guarantee that we won't have any troubles. Sometimes we still have to climb mountains. God does not always part the seas in front of us so that life can be convenient for us. No matter what the mountains are, no matter what the water is in front of us, we can trust in God. The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. Let us pray. Oh God, grant us the confidence of the psalmist, of David, so that we might restore our souls by the green pastures and the still waters that you lead us to, that you call us to. Help us to feel your presence as we venture through valleys that seem so dark. We offer you ourselves and hold on tightly to your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.